Well, we're coming in the Word of God this evening to Matthew chapter 18. Just one verse tonight. Shouldn't take too long to preach in one verse. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20. It'll be known to you all, I'm pretty sure, this evening. Matthew chapter 18 and reading just one verse, verse number 20. Thank you, Francie, for your word of testimony. And we do trust that that has already challenged hearts this evening. Matthew 18 and reading from verse number 20, just verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Very short verse, very well known, and we look to the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts again this evening. It's often said that a crowd draws a crowd, and that's true in so many things. When something seems to be popular, then there seems to be a crowd that will follow it. And very often we find the Lord Jesus Christ in big crowds. Nothing wrong with big crowds. Matthew 9 verse 36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep that have no shepherd. Again, in Matthew 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And so the Lord often worked in big crowds. But then the Lord often worked in very small numbers. He wasn't someone who needed an audience. He wasn't someone who looked for the spectacular. That's really what I want to think about, first of all, this evening. He wasn't looking for the spectacular. Look at verse 18 again. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Just two or three. Nothing sensational. Doesn't have to be a big crowd. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking about being saved, but you're waiting for something spectacular. You're waiting for some flashing light, something to happen, something out of the ordinary, something strange to happen. Let me say tonight, in a simple meeting, in a simple place like Red Friar, I don't mean that in a derogatory term, with a very simple preacher, you can get saved tonight. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You don't have to change your life tonight. The Lord's not expecting you to change your life. He'll change your life for you. As I say, there's nothing spectacular that you have to do. The Lord Jesus Christ will do what needs to be done. And so often we find the Lord working in a small way, with a small group of people. You remember when Jairus' daughter was at the point of death, and indeed she had died. In Matthew 9, verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And people still laugh at what Jesus has to say. In Luke's account, it says, and when he come to the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden, just a small number. The Lord wasn't looking for spectacular. He wasn't looking for an audience. Just the Lord and this small number. And the Lord was going to do something really wonderful as a result of what the Lord would do. This young girl would pass from death unto life. And the Lord can do that for you this evening. Remember, we looked at it this morning, the lady, the woman at the well in John's Gospel, chapter 4. There was just the Lord and this dear lady. This lady was a sinner. It's very obvious from her lifestyle. Not so obvious with some people, but as we've been reminded this evening, that we're all sinners. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. No matter who you are tonight, that's where you stand without Christ. And this lady was on her own, and the Lord Jesus Christ met her, and she was able to drink of that living water. And that's what can happen to you tonight in a meeting like this. We're not looking for something spectacular. We're not looking from a human perspective for something out of the ordinary. We don't need mood music to set the scene. The Lord Jesus can save you where you are, in this meeting here in Refrain this evening. To think tonight that you could pass from death unto life. Because Paul says we're dead and trespasses and sin tonight. To think tonight that you could taste of the living water. Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Think about it. You could have eternal life tonight. And eternal life means eternal life. You'll never be lost. You'll never be in hell. You'll never suffer the wrath of God. You'll never know anything about the condemnation of God. And you could do it tonight in a little meeting like this in Rathfrieland Baptist Church, just where two or three are gathered together. We're not looking for the spectacular. The spectacular that's not required. Let me talk secondly about a significant requirement. Look again at verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together. See the word together. I think that's an important word. That's an important word when it comes to the people of God. The Lord's looking for God's people to be together. What a testimony that is tonight to those who are not saved. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love you have one to another. Paul said this in Philippians 2, verse 2, speaking to believers, and I remember preaching on this one time, how to make your pastor happy. And this is what Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. And how do you make him happy? That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What a beautiful church that would be. Everybody together. And you see, where two or three are gathered together, we're looking for that unity, Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavour means do whatever you have to do to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's easy to be a wrecker, easy to be a stirrer, easy to cause division, but we're looking for men and women of God who will endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means sometimes we make it hurt. But you know, because of the unity, we move on and we put it behind us and we let it go because we can see the big picture. I say this evening because we're coming up to a mission in Anahinchico. And I know every one of you want the Lord to move and you want the Lord to bless. Well, we need to be together. Because where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In Ezra 3 verse 1, it talks about how the people gathered themselves together as one man. What a congregation that must have been. It says together they set forward, the workmen in the house of God, together as one man, together they worked. And even in Ezra 3 verse 11, it says they sang together. They were all singing from the same hymn sheet. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to have those who will endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a significant requirement. If you want the Lord to move, if you want the Lord to bless, then we're looking for unity. You see the sensational is not required. Two or three are gathered together. You see the significant requirement. And then there's a standard required here. Look again at verse number 20. I'm just breaking this down very simply. I'm throwing out some thoughts this evening from a jet-lagged preacher. Verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Not just any gathering. Not just a gathering, because you could have two or three gathered together. You could even have a crowd gathered together and they'd be very united. You could have a crowd at a football match and they're all singing for their particular team and they're really a united crowd. But you know, that's not where the Lord's going to work. The Lord's going to work where we're gathered together in his name. What does it mean to be gathered in his name? It means that there are certain obligations. It means that anything we would say, anything we would do, would be in accordance with his name. Nothing we say or do would be out of keeping with the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we need to preach what Christ preached. And we've already heard some of it this evening. He preached about man's sinfulness. Matthew 4 verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand. He preached a message of repentance. And to preach a message of repentance, you have to preach a message about sin. And the Lord Jesus is often pictured as someone who was soft and someone who's loving, and of course he was. But you know, he was hard in sin. And he must have preached about sin, and he said, repent. And if I am to be gathered together in his name this evening, we have to preach repentance. Because without repentance, there's no salvation. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent means that you're willing to turn from your sin and to turn to Christ and accept him by faith and what he has done on Calvary's cross to remove that sin of yours. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He not only preached about sin, but he preached about the need for sacrifice. Mark 8 verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. If we are really gathered in his name, we must preach Christ and him crucified. That's an obligation. That's a requirement. If this meeting tonight is to be in his name, we need to preach about sin, and we need to preach that Christ died, that Christ rose again, and Christ has finished the work. And without this, there's absolutely no hope for those who are lost. We have to preach about the need for sacrifice. We have to preach that he's the only one that can save. Again, Matthew 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No alternative, no option, only one way. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. And Christ is the only door. I remember I was just listening to myself preaching this evening, and that's not a good thing to listen to, but I was listening to myself. I did a little message which is going over to Wales to work among the gypsies, if I'm allowed to use that word, and there's some outreach going on in Wales, and I put the little message on about I am the door, and I remember using the illustration, you know, our front door at home, well, we think it's a pretty good front door, but I'm sure there's better front doors, but if you want to come to my house and come through the front door, that's the only way you're going to get in. If you go to somebody else's front door, you're not going to be in my house. Jesus says, I am the door. If you want to be in the Father's house, you have to come through Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no other door. There's no other way. There's no other hope. There's no alternative. There's no plan B. There's only one way, and that's the only way you can be saved. That's if we're gathered in his name this evening. We have to preach about sin. We need to preach about the sacrifice. We could need to preach that he's the one that can save. We also need to preach about the seriousness of the rejection of salvation. Not very popular today, but this is what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 9. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye that rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. The Lord Jesus Christ was a hell fire preacher. He wouldn't be welcome in many pulpits today. He wouldn't be invited to preach a message like that. But if we want to be truly gathered in his name, we have to be honest and we have to be faithful to his name. And he preached the seriousness of the message. If you don't repent, if you don't accept Christ, you're going to be in hell. That's the message from Christ this evening. But you know, he didn't just preach about hell. He preached about heaven. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He preached about hell, but he preached about heaven. And so tonight, if we want to be gathered in his name, we have to preach the message that he preached. We have to preach about the sinfulness of man, the sacrifice that was needed, the one who can save, the seriousness of rejection, and the special place that's prepared for those who love the Lord. And I believe we must preach it simply, because that's how he preached. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's nothing more simpler than that. Just come to me. That's what Jesus said. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I'm trying to break it down very simply for you tonight. The sensational is not required where two or three are gathered together. If you're waiting for something sensational, well, you could miss the opportunity. The significant requirement, we have to be gathered together for God's people. The standard required, in my name. The supreme requirement, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I. Without Christ, nothing's going to happen. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he went on to say, for without me you can do nothing. Unless Christ is here, we're wasting our time. And unless Christ is working with you tonight, nothing's going to happen. I can't save you, and the Baptist church can't save you. There's no church can save you. Christ, and Christ alone is the one who can save. And we need the Lord to be in this meeting this evening. And we need the Lord to be at work in your life tonight. Is the Lord working with you? What a wonderful thing it is if God's working in the hearts of someone this evening. Let me mention also something special, again, thinking of a verse that he wasn't required to do. And you see it in the little phrase at the end of verse number 20 again. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. We want Christ to be here. And then there's this little phrase, in the midst of them. It's a wonderful study in Scripture, just to discover where we find Christ in the midst. And if Christ's in the midst here tonight, then there's some wonderful things he can do for you. Let me say, he can do a work of restoration. And Francie read from that wonderful Psalm, Psalm 51. When David was praying not for salvation but restoration, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Over in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we preached on this a few weeks ago, but I'm taking a different slant this evening. Do you remember Mary and Joseph had gone to Jerusalem with the Lord? He at that stage, he was 12 years of age. Do you remember they got caught up in the busyness of what was going on, and they're heading back home again, and they discover they'd left the Lord. And they're on their way without the Lord Jesus. And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe there was a time when you were very close to the Lord. You know, things got busy. Life become a real hassle. Problems come. Difficulties come. And you found yourself drifting away from the Lord. And before you knew it, you'd left the Lord. Now you're still saved. You still have that union that can never be broken. But there's a communion that you weren't enjoying. And like Mary and Joseph, you'd suppose that he was one of their number, but you'd headed away in the wrong direction, and all of a sudden you found the Lord was no longer important in your life. Sometimes it happens gradually. In the life of Peter, it happened gradually. Bit by bit, he stopped praying. He stopped believing. He challenged the Lord. When the Lord said he had to die, he challenged him. He challenged the Lord in John 13, and he began to challenge the Lord. He began to stop praying. And little by little by little, and until it came to the point when Peter says, I don't even know who Jesus is. And he denied him in oaths and curses. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're not there tonight, but the Lord's saying you're heading in that direction. You're not the same as you used to be. Maybe your parents have noticed the difference. You're not the young Christian that you used to be. The love you had for the Lord doesn't seem to be there. The desire to be with the people of God doesn't seem to be there. The company you're now keeping is not the company you used to keep. And you now like this company, and the company of God's people doesn't seem to appeal to you anymore. And maybe there's a slipping and a moving away from the Lord. And maybe tonight we find you like Mary and Joseph, you've just drifted away. You suppose the Lord was there, but the Lord is not there at all. And of course, we know the story how they went a day's journey. They were away for a day, and it took 3 days to come back and find the Lord. And they found the Lord sitting in the midst of the doctors. He was sitting in the midst of the temple. And there's that little phrase. He was in the midst. Now, I know Mary tried to blame the Lord for being lost. I don't know how she could blame the Lord Jesus for him not being there. It was their responsibility, and it's your responsibility tonight. And maybe you have a lot of people to blame. But the Lord has a simple word for you tonight. He wants you to come back tonight. And maybe there's a young person and nobody else knows about it, but the Lord knows about it. You're not what you used to be. And something has come in, or someone has come in. And your relationship to the Lord is not as sweet as it once was. And the Lord says, it's time to get it sorted tonight. It's wonderful what the Lord can do when he's in the midst. He can bring restoration. Of course, he can bring salvation. You'll remember in John 19, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. There he is in the midst again. In between the two thieves. Think of the dying thief. Think of how he recognized who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He recognized Christ's sinlessness. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. He recognized his own sinfulness. We receive justly. He realized that Christ and Christ alone could save, and he simply says, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The moment you close your eyes in death, you're going to be with me in paradise. What a hope. And what a hope you could have this evening. And maybe it's not restoration you need tonight, it's salvation. I would say to you tonight, and I don't know how bad you've been, how sinful you've been, but I would reckon that you weren't as bad as the dying thief. I would think if you were to ask any of his neighbours or his parents, I would think they would just say, from the moment he was born, he was just a bad rascal. And he just was a thief, a lousy thief. And yet there he is, and the Lord Jesus Christ saved him. Because he's a wonderful saviour tonight. and tonight he can save you. You see, he's in the midst tonight for restoration. He's in the midst tonight for salvation. He's in the midst tonight to show compassion. We find him again in John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the Lord's day, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Are you afraid of something tonight? Is there a believer here tonight and you're troubled about something, troubled about work, troubled about the family? There's something playing in your mind tonight and there's a real fear there. And look, sometimes we have fears. We're normal. We're human beings. There's something that has gripped your heart and there's a real fear in your heart. And there was fear in the disciples' heart. And this is what it says. Jesus came and stood in the midst. There's Christ in the midst again. Do you know what he said? Peace be unto you. Only Christ can say that. You know, I could tell you to be calm. And I could tell you to be peaceful. But my words carry no weight. But when Jesus says, peace be still, what a peace. And God can give you a wonderful peace. No matter what you're facing, no matter what's ahead, he's in the midst tonight and he can give you a peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I've said this before, I used to preach in that and say it's beyond our comprehension. And it is, we could never understand. If you can explain it, then it's not God's peace because it's beyond our understanding. But I think it's better than that. There's situations happen and we can't understand them. But God gives us a peace that's beyond the understanding, better than the understanding. We can't make sense of it, but we can trust him, and thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee. And you know, that's better than understanding. You know, you could understand the problem, but can't do a thing about it. You could understand the problem, and your head's been pulled in so many different directions, and you're torn asunder. But if you don't understand what's going on and why, and yet you've got the peace of God, what a blessing. And the peace of God's better than understanding. And Jesus is in the midst just to give that word of compassion. You know, he's in the midst, and I'm not going to do them all this evening, for expectation. Over in Revelation 5, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, and he's in the midst everywhere here, stood a lamb. And there in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst. Francie has said tonight, it's good to know we're going to heaven to meet our loved ones. But you know, just to meet Christ. He's the one in the midst. He's the center of attention. No one's going to take the glory from him. He's the one we'll want to see. He's the one we'll want to be with. Indeed, the glory of the Lord is going to light eternity for us. There's no need of the sun or moon because his glory will light it for all eternity. And what a prospect for a believer this evening. It's great to be saved. It's great to be able to say face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. It's good to be saved tonight. I've tried to be as simple as I possibly could this evening, just breaking this verse down. For where two or three are gathered together, nothing spectacular needed. If you're waiting for something spectacular, well, you're going to wait in vain. Two or three, that's all the Lord asks for. And he can even work with you in your own. There's something significant for the people of God. There needs to be the togetherness. There's a standard we need to meet in his name. We have to preach from his word and preach what he has given us to preach. And then, of course, this is supreme. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. We need Christ to be here. And then this wonderful, special thing. There am I in the midst of them, and what that means tonight. You know, when I was in the United States, and I promise you, I'm not going to use illustrations every week from the United States. I'll sicken you with them. But when we were looking at some cards. And there was a shop, and it looked a nice shop, but it was an unsavory shop when you get into it. And there was a card, you would hardly believe it, and this card said this: I want to go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. And I was thinking, they don't really understand hell. But they don't even understand this fact. When the rich man died and was buried and lifted up his eyes, being in torments in hell, he didn't want his friends to come to hell. He wanted somebody to go from hell to warn his friends to keep them out of hell. It was so bad, he didn't want anybody else to be in it. And whoever designed that card, I would say, listen, if your friends are in hell, they wouldn't want you to be there. It's such an awful place and such a terrible place. Thank God it doesn't have to be your place. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, we're gathered here tonight, we're gathered in his name, and Jesus says, there am I in the midst. He's in the midst for restoration. Do you need to get your life sorted out tonight? You're drifting away from the Lord. He's in the midst for salvation. Do you need to get saved tonight? He's in the midst for compassion. Do you just need a word? Peace be unto you. He's in the midst for expectation. We're going to see him again, and we're going to be with him and like him for all eternity. Don't miss the opportunity. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. Lord, we thank you for just one verse of scripture that's packed with so much. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, we believe you're in the midst tonight. And Lord, we would dare to say tonight, we believe you're speaking tonight. And Lord, speak into the hearts of any tonight who've drifted away from thee. Lord, will you draw them back to yourself? Lord, we don't need confessions tonight. We're not priests in that sense. But Lord, work on hearts tonight. Our desire is to see young people and older people going on with the Lord and growing in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior. Lord, we don't want to see people drifting away. So speak to hearts this evening and draw anyone back who, like Mary and Joseph, have supposed you're one of the number, but Lord, they've drifted away. Lord, the greatest need tonight is the need of salvation. And there are some here, Lord, and they're not saved. Lord, will you speak to them? We pray tonight they'll realize that you're in the midst. What a wonderful opportunity. God forbid that they would waste it. And tonight, what a night it would be if salvation were to visit this place and someone was to come to know Francie's Savior even tonight. And Lord, we promise you we'll say to God be the glory. For it's in and through our Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing in closing tonight. Number 298, Wondrous Love of Jesus, Spread the News Around. Pardon Freely Offered, 298. Wondrous Love of Jesus, Spread the News Around. Pardon freely offered, what a joyful sound. Jesus, loving Saviour, died to set me free. Oh, that blessed whosoever that means me. 298. And we'll stand and sing this hymn together when we get the music. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we thank you again that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, what a blessing. What a privilege to have royalty in the meeting this evening. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we pray that no one will miss this glorious opportunity. And Lord, there'll be someone who'll reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by for restoration, salvation, compassion. Lord, whatever they need, meet needs this evening. Part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing, and grant us homeward and onward journeying mercies. And Lord, do be with us throughout the remainder of this week, for it's in and through our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.